And then Paul moved on to talk about our relationship with others, right? That our relationship with God should shape all our other relationships that we have. You know, when we have a right relationship with God, we also have a right relationship with others. That's his idea. But the problem is that for the Galatians, you know, after Paul planted the church and worked with them, built them up, he then left on another mission or continued planting churches, and he left, and then false teachers came in with false teachings for the church. And the church was by and large led astray. And now they don't have a right relationship with God anymore, so their relationships with each other are starting to crumble. Rather than loving one another, they're biting and devouring each other, they're criticizing each other, they become law-based, right? Judgmental, not grace-based, and as a result, both the relationships with God and their relationships with each other, they're just falling apart. And Paul says we have a choice. We can either live by the flesh or we live by the Spirit. Do you remember that? We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And if we live by the flesh, our life, you know, now and for eternity will be one of separation from God. But if we live by the Spirit, then we follow the character of Jesus. And so what he's gonna say here in Galatians 6 is about what it means to belong to God, what it means to follow the character of Jesus and to live a life in the Spirit as a community of God, right? That's what churches should be about, isn't it? The Kirk certainly wants to be that, and I know that Riverbank does as well. We seek to keep nurturing and growing a Spirit-filled community. And Paul notes four encouragements for us in doing this. Now let me see if I can get this thing working. Yeah, four things. The first thing Paul's going to teach us is to build each other up and not beat each other down. He says it this way. Read verse 1 with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So Paul has a command for us, right? And also a warning. He commands us, you know, if someone sins in your community, restore them gently. Why does he say this? Well, because when someone sins, when someone fails, Satan wants us to beat them up, right? Because that's what he does. He beats people up. Satan wants us to punish others by judging them or by telling everyone else around us what they've done, right? And if this happens, our churches become punitive places, don't they? Places where people are judged and pressured and feel less than, and they aren't grace-based places. Our churches live by the flesh. Our churches live Satan's way rather than by grace, Jesus' way. And so when someone sins against us, it's important for us to come back to Galatians and say, well, okay, well, what does God actually want me to do here? Galatians 6, verse 1, God wants me to build them up, not beat them down. And he also has a warning for us. He says, we need to be honest, though, about our own temptations. Now, why does he say that? What could he mean by that? He says, watch yourselves, or you too may be tempted. This is a really important warning, isn't it? You see, sometimes when a friend's in trouble, we're not the right ones to help them. Would that be right? Sometimes when a friend's in trouble, we're not the right ones to help, and instead, we might make things worse, either for them or for ourselves. Do you see what I mean? How about if you are a recovering alcoholic and your friend's a recovering alcoholic? Do you think you're the person to pick them up when they've crashed, when they've fallen off the wagon? Do you think you're the right person to go down to the pub and pick them up? That might be quite a difficult, tempting situation for you, mightn't it? Or perhaps you're a man who's concerned about the well-being of a woman, but both of you are married, or maybe just one of you are married. She needs help, and you honestly care for her, but are you the right person to bring her that help? Someone else, perhaps another woman, would be better, right? We need to watch ourselves, or we might be tempted too. And once we know whether or not we're the right person to provide that help, our goal is to restore that person gently. You know, we all mess up. We all get dirty. And the thing that will change hearts is the way we respond in those times. Are we going to respond with law, or are we going to respond with grace? You know, as children of God, as His people, as we examine our own lives, are there places where there is sin, where there is rebellion? And if so, let's bring it to God, who gives grace and who will wash us clean. And may we at Riverbank be the kind of people and the kind of place that doesn't beat people down and shame people and scare people from being a confessing people, from being a repenting people. But rather, by grace, may we encourage that, and may we build each other up. Second point, Paul says, be a burden lifter, not a burden giver. He says it this way. Read verses 2 to 5 with me. He says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each of you, or each one, should carry their own load. And what Paul's saying is there are two kinds of people, those who put burdens on each other and those who lift burdens. Jesus said of the religious people of his day, he said that they would put heavy burdens on others, right? Duties and responsibilities, but then they don't actually offer any help to them. Some of us, you know, we've been in religious environments like this. And so Jesus said, instead, come to me. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what Jesus is saying is that religious people are burden givers, but he is the burden lifter, right? And he wants his people to do the same for each other. And my wife Sophie and I, you know, we've experienced this at our church. There are many burden lifters there, and it is a wonderful thing. But then Paul goes on to talk about burden givers, you know, those who won't bear their own load. What's the difference? Well, first Paul says, you know, carry each other's burdens, and then he also says in the same breath, carry your own load. Which one is it? It's different words, right? Very simply, if it's heavy, we got to help. If it's light, you know, take care of yourself, you know, take responsibility. Think of it in this way, you know, someone has a catastrophic illness. They're in the middle of a divorce. You know, something unexpected happens to their children. You know, these are overwhelming things. These are vast things, right? They're issues that are more than they can bear. So as God's family, we come along and we help them lift that burden. We help them through that time. But there are other things that are simply someone's responsibility as an adult, right? You need to get a job. You need to figure out your transportation. You need to pay your bills. You need to oversee your diet so you're healthy, and your life is your responsibility. And those are adult responsibilities that we need to take seriously, right? And the danger in Christian communities is this, that while we're told to lift one another's burdens, some of us can abuse this and we become burden givers. And the responsible people who want to be burden lifters attract irresponsible people who want to be burden givers. And the burden lifters become overwhelmed and can't help those who genuinely need love and grace and generosity. And that's what Paul's warning against. And I want to be clear, I'm not saying we love these people and we don't love these people. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Paul's saying. I think what Paul's saying is that we need to love these people first and teach those people, you know, the burden givers, to be responsible so that they too can become burden lifters. You know you're in a relationship with a burden giver when they're giving you their responsibilities. Are any of us in that position? Are any of us those people who are, you know, palming off our adult responsibilities? You know, when you're giving others your responsibilities and all of a sudden, or excuse me, when you're receiving other people's responsibilities and all of a sudden you're responsible for the things they should be responsible for, and this can happen in marriage, it can happen at work, it can happen between parents and children even. My phone's gone to sleep. Number three, Paul wants to teach us that spirit-filled communities must learn to receive and give generously. He says it like this in verse 6. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. What Paul's talking about here is that generosity is a test of grace. You know, the major theme throughout Galatians is grace, right? And what grace naturally leads to is generosity. Generosity with our words, generosity with our deeds, generosity with our wealth. And Paul says here that those who have the great honor of teaching, we need to give generously to those who give us the honor of teaching them, right? So let me just pause for a moment and say, I recognize the grand privilege of preaching here with you. I recognize the grand privilege of doing it week in and week out down at the Kirk, and I want to thank you all for it. And I think all the preaching elders here and the preaching ministers here would agree with that. It's a great honor to teach God's Word. And I love opening up the Bible and studying it. So thank you. And then Paul says, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. What he's talking about is being willing to receive and also give. Receive and give. And it requires grace to do both, doesn't it? How many of us, you know, we're better at giving than receiving? I think that's most people. Because sometimes receiving can be really awkward. It requires grace to do both. We might be keen to help others, but you know, we don't want them to help us. You know, you love to lift other people's burdens, but you hate being a burden to others. You know, part of living in a grace-filled community is being willing to not just give, but also receive. You know, and then on the flip side, there are those of us who are quick to receive grace, but we neglect to give it. And if all we are doing is receiving grace, we can then become very greedy, and church quickly becomes about, you know, what I get out of it and what I receive, what attention I can have. And Paul says, no, we need to be givers as well as receivers. And practically, we know that at various seasons of life, we're going to shift between the two, right? Now, in one season, you're going to be a great giver. You're going to be blessed in such ways that, you know, it's just overflowing out of your bounty. But then there'll be seasons of life where you're going to have to be a receiver. And this is a blessing of grace. This is the grace of being in a grace-filled Christian community, that you can do both, that you can be both. Principle number four. This is the final one. Paul says, keep sowing in the Spirit. Read verse 7 with me. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So Paul says, keep sowing in the Spirit. It's the law of the harvest. You sow an apple seed, you get an apple tree. You get apples. You sow in the flesh, you're going to get sin and death. Read verses 8 to 9. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Excuse me. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What he's talking about here, sowing and reaping. We all reap what we sow. If we give law to people, expect to have law given back to us, right? If we're nitpicking people, expect to get nitpicked back, right? If we're loving people, the odds are better that we're going to be loved in return. If we encourage people, we're going to be encouraged. We reap what we sow. But also, we reap where we sow. Does that make sense? You know, if you're sowing into your marriage, if you're pouring time into your marriage, you're going to reap a harvest there. You put time and energy into your children, you'll reap a harvest there. If you spend all your time at work, you might be very fruitful there, but maybe not at home because you're not sowing anything there at the moment. And so as Christians, we've got to look at our lives and decide, what are our priorities? Because so many of our pains and problems, they haven't really snuck up on us, have they? But we've been sowing and sowing and sowing for some time. In regard to our faith, maybe we followed a bad diet. Excuse me, in regard to our health, maybe we followed a bad diet with poor nutrition, right? And for a while there, we thought, hey, nothing's happening, nothing's changing, I'm doing all right. But now we're reaping the consequences of it. Or maybe it's financial pain, you know, and often we don't feel the full pain until we reap the consequences of bad investments or decisions or habits along the way. Or maybe we neglect a relationship with our spouse or with a friend or with the Lord or with our kids. And it seemed to function for a while. We thought, wow, our family's doing pretty well. But then one day it breaks because we reap what we sow and we reap where we sow. And so as Christians, what are our priorities? You know, I'd argue first and foremost, our priority is Jesus, amen? Our relationship with God. Because again, it's our relationship with God which will impact all of our other relationships, right? That's a repeated refrain in Galatians. And then for me, for example, after Jesus, it's my wife. And then after her, it's our children, because the only way I can properly care for our children is if I properly care for Sophie. And then it's church and work. And I want to reap where I sow. And so I want to sow into those priorities in that order. And some of us, maybe we're doing it tough and we've got financial problems, physical problems, spiritual problems, relational problems, family problems, whatever the case may be, and there probably isn't really a quick fix to any of those things. You know, as one who's experienced a number of the above, that breaks my heart if you're experiencing that, but there is probably no quick fix. And it's just like, you know, if you're hungry, you need to plant a seed and wait for something to grow before reaping the harvest. It's so easy to get discouraged and say, you know what, I read the Bible and it didn't work. I prayed and that didn't work. I did what God said and it didn't work, so I quit. And to this, Paul says, let's not become weary of doing good. For in the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we, what? Don't give up. If we endure, if we persevere. You know, it's like the farmer who just keeps going to work, right? Until they get to enjoy the harvest of their work, the fruit of their harvest. And what God really wants to build here at Riverbank is a community of grace. You know, centered around the person and the work of Jesus and empowered by the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he wants to do at the Kirk. And those things don't just happen. And there are a lot of mistakes and a lot of wounds and a lot of pains that need to be addressed as we try and make those things happen, as we endure, as we persevere in doing good. One final thought as we close. Let's bring this all together. Read verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We don't know how long we have on this earth, do we? We don't know how many opportunities we have left to be heralds of Jesus' grace. Remember that from earlier in Galatians, Paul called himself a herald of the good news of Jesus. And we follow, every one of us who claims Jesus as Lord, we follow in his footsteps. But God has set boundaries around our lives, and our opportunities to do good exist only within those boundaries. And Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. You know, the English word opportunity comes from the Latin and means toward the port. Don't you love that image? Toward the port. It's like a ship taking advantage of wind and tide to arrive safely in the harbor. If as Paul has also been encouraging us, we can walk by God's Spirit, then he will enable us to be on high alert for spiritual opportunities which we can seize before our days are done. What opportunities are passing before you today to share his grace and love with others? You know, this coming week, what opportunities do you have? What opportunities do you have to share his grace and love with others? Mark Twain was famous for saying, I was seldom able to see an opportunity until it had ceased to be one. That's kind of tragic, isn't it? Or maybe you're a Pirates of the Caribbean fan. I love how Captain Jack Sparrow said it while on his ship. I love to wave at good opportunities as they pass me by. Let's not be like that either. Instead, may we be a people of grace, keeping in step with the Spirit and looking for every opportunity to be instruments of grace to others while there is time. May we look for every opportunity to be a part of building this place into a community of grace, into a Spirit-filled community of grace, building one another up, sharing our difficult times as well as our good times, praying for one another, bearing one another. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know, Lord, what sort of community you want us to be. You outline it in this book in Galatians in such an incredible way. But Lord, we need your grace to be able to do it. We need your Spirit to motivate us, to strengthen us, to change our own attitudes and the ways that we look at other people and the ways that we see others' faults and mistakes and errors. Lord, it's so easy to be judgmental when we don't live in their shoes, when we don't walk around in their shoes. Please, Lord Jesus, would you make us a people of grace? And may this church then become a place where people aren't afraid to confess, aren't afraid to ask for forgiveness, aren't afraid to ask for help. Lord Jesus, may we build one another up. And through this, may people see the love and the grace of Jesus. Amen.